Back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Jahlil Okafor was not going to go to DePaul. They did not pick Duke over DePaul.
You know that the first school to offer Jahlil a scholarship was DePaul.
I was there, and he was an eighth grader.
Right.
He was working out in a Northwest Indiana gym. I followed him there one day. We watched him work out. I mean, I didn't follow him.
He's not allowed near a Chuck E. Cheese now,
exactly.
Too.
Make sure you stretch out those cream hamstrings.
Hey, Jahlil.
That was yesterday on the show. Welcome back to Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. You get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in the app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them up at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com, pleasing people since 1936. Ask for our buddy, Steve Shapiro.
So that was yesterday, having some fun with that. And today's April Fool's Day, and the Colts, so far, the early...
This is the good one, then I'll tell you what an idiot did.
Okay. The Colts produced a video, Dwayne Allen in a fake uniform, but they're suggesting that these are the new uniforms. All white.
Nice.
Jerseys, numbers, trim. And he says, he was trying to explain why the Colts have done it. From a strategic football standpoint, how can they scout us? They can't see our numbers.
Pretty good.
So he's getting people to believe. That's a good one.
Bruce Irvin, standout DN for the... Could play some linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, pass rusher.
Yeah, and he's been a troubled person when he was drafted.
He was he was troubled in the Super Bowl.
Correct. He sends out a tweet, something to the effect of, made a mistake, had too much to drink and drove, got in trouble, I apologize, blah, 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 telling people that he got a DUI, and then says, April Fools.
Why would you do that?
Because he's an idiot.
Why would you link yourself with a DUI in the first place? Plant the seed that, okay, this is something that I want people to associate with my reputation.
Dumb.
And secondly, some people are never going to get the other end of the joke. They're just going to see the one tweet and say, oh, geez, look what that idiot did.
Dumb.
You got to be very careful with these April Fool's jokes.
Yes. Correct.
I tried one I told you before the show on my son this morning that I thought I tried to get him every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very early, you know, when you're getting up and getting to the bus and all that stuff. So I figured I could probably pull it. And I made up a name. Like I said, can you believe that the Hawks are going after this defenseman from the Red Wings, Victor Kurlenko? this great young defenseman.
How long did it take you to come up with the name?
I just kind of did over breakfast. I don't know. I was thinking of the name. And I said, can you believe the Hawks are going after this new defenseman, Victor Kurlenko, from the Red Wings. And and I'm sorry to tell you, they traded Andrew Shaw to get him. And he's, you know, basically in
That's
full,
his favorite player.
Yeah. His favorite player is Andrew Shaw, big fat head in the basement and everything. And he's in full teenager mode, which basically means he tunes out most of what I say.
Right.
So he's eating his breakfast, typically, you know. And then when I say they had to trade Andrew Shaw to get him, he does look up. And he's like, what? He's like, then now he's listening. I got his attention.
Like, whoa.
I said, yeah, sorry. Hawks had to trade Shaw to get Kurlenko. They're thinking about the future, you know, going into the playoffs. They need another defenseman because he knows the hockey realities of the Blackhawks. And he's like, well, I thought the trade deadline was over. I said, well, you know, it's a waiver deal. I tried to make something up because, yeah, I figured he might not follow it that closely. Oh, really? So he's sitting there, a few more minutes pass, and I'm trying not to laugh. Then all he says, did that really happen? Why would they get rid of Shaw? Now he's getting a little agitated. Why would they get rid of Shaw? Why would they do that now? Now, and I finally said, I can't help myself. I was laughing. I had to tell him it was false. April Fool's. And then he wasn't too happy. But then he claimed he never fell for it in the first
place. I didn't
place.
Even believe you, Dad.
He goes, I didn't believe you anyway. They wouldn't do that. Trade deadline was passed.
That Victor Kurlenko might be a really good player. Let's go to the phones, 312-235-2525. Silk is in Kenosha. What's up, French?
Hey, what's up, Captain Hall?
Hey, Silk.
How's it going, French Silk?
Man, everything's going good. But I'm upset with our Cubs. We're supposed to be trying to win every year, and you can't tell me that Addison Russell shouldn't be the starting shortstop. Move Castro to second base or something. We're supposed to put the best team out there.
I don't know that Addison Russell is ready yet.
Addison Russell has not played one game at AAA. He'll get there and he'll be very good, but they're going to force him to get some experience down there. That's just the way it is.
Defense and pitching is what wins games, Cap. You know that. He outshines Sterling. When you look up and Sterling got about 15 or 16 errors at the end of the year, then you'll be looking for guys.
No, but Silk, you don't want to overmatch young hitters so that it destroys their confidence, they form bad habits, and then they never get back on track. Addison Russell is going at the pace that they should bring him up at. You want him to spend time at every level.
When you haven't won in 108 years, the pace is every year you look to win. You don't take liberty and try to build up. Every year you put your best players out there. As a true Cub fan like Cap is, you know that they don't have the best 9 players out there. They sent 3 good players down.
Silk, first of all, what's your real name?
Hey, my real name is Cavell.
Cavell.
Cavell. Ask Ernie. I know that's him in the beginning. Tell him K. Morgan called in. He know who I am.
All right. You got it,
Thanks, Silk.
See you, buddy.
All right, now.
Have a good one. Silk, that's an interesting nickname. 312-235-2525. That's right.
Remember Jamal Wilkes?
What was Jamal's first name, really? Well,
it was
really
Jamal.
He changed it.
It was?
He changed it.
It was James. No,
Keith
I don't know. How did you know that?
Because I
don't think that was the case.
Really?
Was it? Did he change
Keith
it?
Keith Wilkes became
Jamal.
I just
remember he was number 52 in the Lakers. I loved the Lakers growing up, and he had that funky shot from the corner, and he did it like this, Cap. Like, remember this?
Yeah.
Boom. And he was silk. He was smooth. He could bury the jumper.
What number did he wear?
52.
Jamal
right?
Wilkes.
Wasn't he 52?
Let's see. He was, wow, how old do you think he is now?
61.
61.
So he's 52. Was he number 52?
Born Jackson Keith Wilkes.
Okay, good. Good for you.
There you go.
And was he number 52?
Number 52. Right? Played at UCLA.
Jabbar Wilkes, Worthy, Norm Nixon, Magic. That was with Michael Cooper coming off the bench. Whew, that was a team.
How about that?
That was a team.
Interesting. 312-235-2525. He was a great player. You know who I liked? Jim McMillan. Remember Jim McMillan?
Yeah.
Played for the Lakers. What played for the Buffalo Braves.
Okay.
Yeah.
You liked him?
I loved him.
Did Jamal Wilkes spend some time with Golden State?
He did.
Yeah.
Jamal Wilkes played for 3 teams in the NBA.
Al Addles was the coach.
He won a ring at Golden State. Golden State, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Won 4 NBA rings.
Remember Norm Nixon?
Mm-hmm.
Remember who Norm Nixon was married to?
No.
Think fame. I want to live forever. I want to learn how to fly. Fame!
Who is that?
Debbie Allen!
Wouldn't have got
that
in a million
years. Oh, come on. You don't get the Debbie Allen fame reference?
No.
Oh, man. You've got to.
Where did Norm Nixon play his college buckets?
Duquesne.
Very good.
Hey, I'm Mr. Laker, circa 1979, 81, whatever it was.
Will right. Keith Wilkes ever, or Jamal Wilkes, ever get into the Hall of Fame?
No.
He's already in. Ducked into the Hall of Fame.
I feel stupid now.
Ducked into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame and is number 52, retired by both the Lakers and the UCLA
Excellent.
Bruins.
Excellent stuff.
There you go. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll get back to your calls. Claudia wants to talk Tibbs. We got Porter Moser. Frank wants to talk about Chris Bryant. And Rich says Cap's picking Duke. Yes, Rich, I am.
Sure he is. Have you seen the new 2015 lineup of Ford vehicles? They're incredible. Alpamonte Ford has hundreds of new Fords and more truckloads arriving every day this month. Alpamonte Ford must sell all 2014, so don't wait any longer. Now's the time to buy. Visit Alpamonte Ford and ask about 0% financing and some great rebate and cashback offers going on now. And Alpamonte Ford is only minutes from downtown in the western suburbs. Visit Alpamonte Ford, 25th North Avenue in Melrose Park, Alpamonte Ford.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Talk to Porter Moser in 30 seconds. Want to let you know Cubs in Milwaukee in Mesa on CSN Chicago at 3 o'clock today. I'll have Sports Talk Live right after the ball game. Bulls in Milwaukee on CSN. Pregame Live with Mark and Will starts at 6:30. White Sox wrap up spring training against the D-backs 2 p.m. on CSN Chicago tomorrow. And the Hawks in Vancouver tomorrow night. Chevy Blackhawks pregame live with Pat Boyle starts at 7 o'clock with Steve Conroy and Jamal Mayers. Also, want to let you know that that's Whack Bro, our fun game, today at 11:25.
11:25. Looking forward
to
that.
Porter Moser joins us now from Louisiana, where his club tries to sweep the series, see if they can take two straight and win the championship. Porter, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Porter.
Hey, guys. Hey, Cap. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Your club is still playing. Most wins Loyola's had in nearly 30 years. How excited are you?
You know, we're real excited. You know, we got here in Monroe, Louisiana. I do need to be on your next segment. That's Whack, Bro. Because I check in, Cap, and they're like, Coach Moser, we got your suite ready. We got a balcony terrace view for you. I get up there. My balcony is as big as one of those telephone company trucks where that guy stands in the inside that big thing in the telephone pole, and it's looking over a freeway. So that's my beautiful terrace.
That's but Whack, Bro.
These guys, yeah, these guys are really excited. I mean, we went into this thing being able to play our first postseason in 30 years. I've said it all along since we got in. It's obviously not the prize we're looking for, but we're building culture. We're building, taking steps. And these guys we're up to 23 wins. They're getting experience playing postseason, that win or go home feeling. And, you know, the culture is being set. These guys are expecting to win game after game. And I just love my guys. I've said it all along. We got great chemistry.
23 victories is the most since 1985, the L. Frederick Hughes era at Loyola, Porter, and I think that's a lot to be proud of. But you're right. I mean, this isn't the big one, but I think that it doesn't diminish the fact that you can practice, that you can use this in recruiting. It is good for your program, and it does imply growth. All those things matter, but was there a moment where you had to talk to your team and say, okay, you've got to get past the fact that you're playing in this tournament that a lot of people overlook?
Two things happened. One, you know, I talked to our guys about, you know, when I was with Coach Majerus in St. Louis, we went into that. And, you know, Rick had been to the national championship game and everything, and he wanted to do it for the same reasons in terms of getting those guys in St. Louis to be thinking about postseason. We went to the championship game, and we played Shaka Smart at BCU. And that was Shaka's first postseason tournament. They went on to do, you know, the Final Four. St. Louis went to three straight NCAA tournaments. Greg Marshall's first postseason at Wichita was the CBI tournament. And what you do is, trust me, all summer long, I'm going to be feeding this to these guys during workouts, during everything about the taste of postseason, where we want to go. I watched our first step of postseason this year was I took our team in a huge movie theater in the new Damon Student Center, and we watched the selection show for the NCAA tournament, just us. And we watched all those other teams with all their thousands of fans. And I said, we're going into the CBI because this is where we want to go someday. We're taking a step. And the second thing I did is the very first practice, I spread them out around the gym and I made them just write down on paper what they visualized coming out of this thing. I wanted them to just put it on paper and just have them see. And all of them all of a sudden started writing all this stuff about winning it. And it was, I think they embraced it. Our practices have been great.
Porter, when you look at your team, I was talking with Eddie Fogler the other day about coaches that have really just done a magnificent job. You took over a job. It was not easy. To see where you've gotten it now, did it come quicker than you thought it would?
A little bit. You know, I love that the expectations are going up. Cause that's I love that. It's part of what we're doing. But, you know, the move into the Valley was a huge jump, Cap. I don't think people realize how hard it is to take over last place team in one league and then try to all of a sudden jump to a league like that. I do think it a little bit. I still want to build the culture in terms of, I really think our arena, you've been in there, you've announced games there, it holds 5,000. If we fill that thing up, it can be really intimidating. We had it about three quarters full the other night, and it was so loud. And I just, you know, that is a steps I want to take. But, yeah, you know, I, I really felt that this was a perfect fit for me. You know, and I looked at it and I told my staff, our players, I said, you know, when we moved into the Valley, it can either be an excuse to not getting it done. You know, we could use it as an excuse, hey, well, we didn't get it done here, we moved into the Valley. Or we can use it, look at it as an opportunity to be great. And it can. It can elevate our program to new heights going into this league, the recruiting with it, and that's the approach we take it.
You know, Porter, a lot of attention on your team this season goes to Milton Doyle. He gets a lot of because he's a local kid, and obviously he's fun to watch. I think anybody went through he overcame the injury, and certainly that factored into some of his numbers this season. But who else on your team? And tell us a little bit about other guys who have stepped forward and you've relied upon and have come through to get you to the point where you are.
Well, I have three seniors. Christian Thomas is a 1,000-point scorer. He's a 6'3.5" post player I brought in from St. Louis when I was there. He's just a workhorse. I mean, we're going to miss him next year. Joe Chrisman, those guys are senior, just tough, tough kids. London DeKubu, three guys that established our toughness. But Earl Peterson and Ben Richardson have been two guards, and Devin Turk. Those three guards, when Milton went out, really stepped up. Think about this. We got 23 wins, and Milton Doyle missed 12 games. And those three guards really got confidence when he was out. I mean, Earl Peterson was phenomenal last game. Devin Turk is, I think he's one or two three-pointers away from breaking the all-time three-point record at Loyola, and he's still in his junior year. And those guys have really stepped up from the guard spots.
Porter, we're rooting for you. Hope you get this done. That high ball screen offense that Rick Majerus so loved, I see it in every game I'm watching. Everybody's running it now.
You're right. They are. Everyone's doing it.
Hey, go get them tonight.
Hey, thanks, Coach.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Best of luck.
To talk to you. There he is, Porter Moser, who I'm telling you, that guy is a stud coach. Really good.
He is. He's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of good thoughts. His teams are disciplined, and you are impressed by, even though they're in the CBI or whatever, 23 victories are 23 victories.
With his best player out for a dozen.
They had the injury to Doyle, and they're playing in a conference that's pretty good. And he's right. He took over a last place team when they were in the Horizon. And they moved to the Missouri Valley. Not easy to do.
No.
And he does it. You know what I like about it? He's been here for a little bit now, and we've gotten to know him a little bit. He's a pretty cheerful guy. He's a pretty optimistic guy.
He is.
And he has a great attitude, and you see the same guy every time you see him. He's not one of these guys that, boy, he walks in a room and you're like, what kind of mood is he going to be in today?
He's the same guy.
Yeah, and you respect that.
Rich in Chicago has a college buckets question. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Captain Hogg.
What's going on, Hammer?
I wanted to talk about your NCAA prediction. A couple weeks ago, I thought you had picked Wisconsin to win the whole thing, and now I just heard you pick in Duke to win it all. I want to know what changed your – what changed the change of heart over there? What's going on?
Yeah. I did say Wisconsin on the show, and then the day before the tournament, we had to have our brackets on the show. I said, hey, David, I made a change. I did my analysis, and I ended up picking three of the final four correct. I have Wisconsin, Kentucky, and Duke, but I had Virginia coming out over Michigan State, and I picked Duke to beat Kentucky. I see two Blue Bloods meeting on Monday night.
Was that before or after I picked Duke?
I didn't know who you picked.
That ain't true!
Thanks, Coach Gundy. Let's go back to the phones. Claudia wants to go towards the NBA. Hey, Claudia, what's going on there? How's the cookie good looking?
Hi, Mr. David Hall and Mr. Capipedia.
What's up?
I learned all my facts from you.
Oh,
I'm just trying to start a letter writing campaign to Jerry Reinsdorf. Remember that? Capipedia, ain't that a good one?
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm get that sponsored.
I get all my facts from you.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm trying to start a letter writing campaign to Jerry Reinsdorf to keep kids. Don't sit on your hands like you did in 98 and the disasters that followed. After Tibbs' first year, all of a sudden they started getting more season ticket holders and everything. And the other thing I think I'd like to develop is that, you know, Tibbs plays his players. Every game is important. It's important whether it's the first game, the middle game, or the last game of the regular season. And you owe it to the sponsors and to the people who come to the games. Now, you talked about being at a hockey game with your wife, and some guy came from all the way from Toronto to root for the Hawks. Well, what if it's a day that some guy comes from Mongolia to root for the Bulls, and they decide not to play a couple of their good guys because they're going to rest them? That's not honorable. You owe that to the other team and to the fans. You give the best game every time. Now I'm through.
Thanks,
Claudia.
Claudia,
you have a great day.
You too.
See ya.
Thanks a lot, Cap. I missed you terribly. Bye.
See ya.
Bye, Claudia.
Claudia, love her.
She missed you.
There you go. 3-1, Capipedia. 312-235-2525.
You know, the Tom Thibodeau thing we can talk about some more if you want. But I just wonder if, how is it going to go down? Do you think he really is desperate to get out of here if
no.
they are Eastern Conference final participants?
I don't, but I don't.
Do you think the Bulls are eager to get rid of him
yes.
if they are Eastern final conference
yes.
participants?
And Nick Friedell on TV with me yesterday, he yeah. feels like me. He does not see Thibs here next year.
Is he as resolute, definite, 100%?
Pretty much.
Point of no return as you.
Pretty much.
Okay, I'm not there. I'm not there.
Are you, if I'm at 99.9, Nick's at 97.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance.
Okay.
All right, we'll get to Frank in Chicago. Wants to talk a little Chris Bryant. We got phone lines open for you at 312-235-2525. Still to come, we'll have Pat Connaughton, my guy at 11:10 from Notre Dame.
He's your guy now.
He is.
He gets Notre Dame into the Elite Eight, so now he's your guy.
He's my guy.
Before he was like, who's that number 24?
I liked this kid for a while. Big fan. And that's Wack Bro 11:25.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
I'm Cast Sportsnet.
Just got to spring, you know, some practices together. So yesterday we, you know, established the baseline and keep building from there.
He's just more frustrated, more down on himself at times, make a tough plays, a couple missed shots, but he was still in it. He looked great to me. Everybody is real excited to see him back, and it's only a good sign for our team.
There's Thibs, there's Taj, all talking about Derrick Rose, who went back to work yesterday with contact at practice. Kevin Hall continues on CSN and WGN Plus. Breaking news from the college basketball world.
Big Ten basketball.
Big Ten basketball. Mello Trimble staying in school at Maryland for another year. That's a surprise. A
it
lot
is.
Of people
he,
thought he'd be a high
He
first
did some
round
research.
Pick.
I think he wanted to be guaranteed or assured he'd be a lottery pick. I don't think he got those assurances, so he's staying in school.
Also, I have an issue with our city, and you know I'm all about this city. It's my home. I'll born here, I'll die here. Love this place.
Yep.
Okay, Portland just announced that they have accepted the proposal for a retractable roof, and they'll debut a new stadium in 2017.
I know.
Why can Portland, Detroit, Indianapolis get retractable roof facilities, and
Houston.
We're stuck? Houston.
Minneapolis.
Milwaukee. Minneapolis.
Minneapolis is going to be a retractable roof?
Yes.
Yeah.
Milwaukee. Phoenix. Seattle. All these places. And we're stuck here with Soldier Field.
I know.
Are you kidding?
It is really was short-sighted.
So embarrassing.
Back in 2003 that reopened, right? But the planning was prior to that. People weren't anticipating this. Imagine what Chicago would be like and all the things that could be here if you had a retractable roof. Imagine that. Final Fours, Super Bowls, big events. But no, we have a spaceship on top of colonnades.
It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
I don't get it. 312-235-2525. Frank, we'll get to you in a second, but we got to grab these two Thibs comments. Terry in Chicago.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Hi, Terry. What's going on, Air Cookie?
Good morning, guys. You know, I listen to the show every day, and I think, I don't know, nobody's brought it up as bluntly, but I'm going to tell you that the head, Gar Foreman's ahead of this push to get Thibs out of town. Because Thibs was here before him, so they hire him as GM, and it's not his guy. You know, it goes on in football, and so he just wants to get rid of him. Well, if it was up to me,
he hired him. Whoa, yeah, yeah, he was the GM when they hired him.
Was the general manager who hired Tom Thibodeau. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they are best buddies, but to pin this on one guy, I don't think is fair or accurate.
Oh, I'm sorry, then I was wrong. I thought Thibs was here before Gar Forman.
No, absolutely not.
No, Gar Forman's been part of the organization for a long time, back to the Tim Floyd era.
Tim Floyd days.
Yeah, the UTEP coach.
I'm sorry
about
that. Thanks for the correction.
No problem. No, no, you're the problem. Man. Thanks for watching us every day, Ter.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys are welcome. Thanks a lot. Good show.
Thanks. See you, buddy. 312-235-2525. Sam is in Chicago. What's up, Samwell?
Hey, Capron. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're good.
Good. Yeah, my comment is on Tibbs. And like previous caller called in and say because he owes it to the fans, the, you know, the play guys every day. I think the problem is he practicing those guys too hard every day. And their body's just not going to withstand that kind of pressure.
Thibs complained they haven't even had many practices.
Well, he can't keep guys healthy. He guns them all day. You know, your body's going to give up. And you like you say, he's going through restrictions with minutes with Joakim. I guess
I don't know that you can pin Joakim Noah's knee injury on Tom Thibodeau.
Well, you can't pin it all on him, but, you know, he needs to rest. The guy doesn't need to be on him. Like you say, Paxton played with two Hall of Famers. He got to see certain days, Phil Jackson, no, Michael, you don't practice. Scotty, you don't practice. He didn't gun him every day. So you can't keep a healthy team, especially if they're going hard. And like I say, players don't really take off seasons no more. So they do need certain breaks in order to continue to have a healthy
Sam,
career.
I know what you're saying. Thanks for making the phone call. I think that's it's a valid concern. It certainly is a popular sentiment, but I just don't know if you can have it both ways. If you can celebrate the Bulls for playing hard and being that team that really doesn't take a night off effort-wise, and that's largely due to what? Coaching.
Don't you always feel like when they take – like, well, I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to watch the Bulls and the Bucks.
Yes.
Don't you feel like – and this is not a shot at Jason Kidd. I don't know him at all.
You can take a shot at Jason Kidd if you want.
Okay. I feel like we will be a far more prepared team –
there's no doubt about it –
than anybody they play other than maybe Pop.
I don't think there's any question about that. That's why Tom Thibodeau has the respect that he does. So it's all part of the package, and I think we overstate sometimes – the blame that's assigned to him because of the injuries that happened to the Bulls. I don't blame him for Derrick Rose's first knee injury.
Me either.
I don't blame him for Joakim Noah's knee surgery.
But the society we live in always has to have somebody to blame.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's convenient, but it's a product of today's obsession with numbers and analytics, and you know, we have to watch, you know, 42 minutes versus 38 minutes. What's the difference? I mean, really, I don't know. Maybe over time you can accumulate the numbers and it seems, but I think we get a little bit too crazy all wanting to belong to the minutes police.
Agreed. 312-235-2525. Follow him on Twitter at David Haw and follow me on Twitter at The Cap Man. 312-235-2525. By the way, on Twitter right now, can you explain something to me?
Am I going to have to explain why I blocked your husband? I just got a tweet like that. I don't know.
I don't have a husband.
Okay, or your wife. I'm sorry. I got a tweet from somebody who said, why did you block my husband? I don't remember doing that, and I checked out his profile.
No.
I don't think I did that. I think it was accidental. So he will come. He's back in the club.
There you go. Okay, Jake Arrieta sent out two tweets.
Yeah.
At Chris Bryant 23, stay the course. We will have a spot waiting.
I saw that.
Okay, and then he just tweeted, I don't know what this means. Maybe Mike does. Mike's younger than us. Jake Arrieta tweeted, just engaged in a sensual hug with at Chris Bryant 23. My Oppo pop increased significantly. What does that mean?
Jesus.
What does that mean?
That's a good question.
What is Oppo pop?
I don't know. Can we discuss that on the show? I'm not sure.
My Oppo pop increased significantly.
It's after a sensual hug?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Better not go to Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't
get out of my restaurant.
Wow. Wow.
There will be no hugging.
Let's go back to the phones. Frank's in Chicago. Franklin, what's going on there, buddy?
Not much. How you doing, Captain Hall?
Hey, we're Frank.
Great. How are you?
All right. I had a comment and a question for you guys about Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know the spring training is to get players ready and stuff, but you also have non-roster invitees. You got guys that's offered minor league contracts to see if they can make the club, just like Coke. Came in, changed his mechanics, had an awesome spring, and just signed a contract for, what, $2.5 million? You got Chris Bryant, went off the charts. Last year didn't have a great spring. This time he does. And he made the team. I understand about, you know, the service time and stuff like that. But say he's got 12 games that he's going to miss at the beginning of the season. And you got, they go 6-6 or 5-7. Say he hits he would have hit 2-3 run homers to win two games. That changes the outcome of, you know, what their wins and losses are. And it's just like last year when you had Kansas City and Oakland tied for the playoffs. That could be the difference right there. So how do you go from saying, well, this service time and the Cubs, Rizzo promising that we're going to, you know, win the division. Madden comes in and says, we're going to try to win the World Series this year. How can you go to do that and then say it was, you know, it's service time. It's all economics. I've been a fan since I was 5 years old. And this is some of the most optimistic that anybody's been able to have in years for the Cubs. And how do you do that? And then when Bryant does come up for the contract and he does these outlandish numbers like Mike Trout or Giancarlo Stanton, and then you're going to say, what about a hometown discount? He's going to say, no, it's business. You showed me it was business from the beginning. I want the top dollar. Give me the top dollar and maybe I'll stay.
Frank,
I don't think he's going to.
That's a very well put point of view.
We're talking
But Cap, hold on. No, hear him out. You hear him out. He's saying this, and I think in a nutshell, the Cubs are telling you that this year every game matters because they can contend. If every game matters, even though it's only 12 games, 9 games in 12 days, then how do you reconcile that? It's a fair question, Frank. Thanks for making the phone call.
Frank, we're going to agree to disagree. I'm glad we've got a front office that looks at the long term and the big picture and the whole deal.
But as we were discussing earlier, Cap, yes, we all understand the economics of baseball. We all understand the service time realities. But please allow the fans who are being told that every game matters the right to be upset that the best player in the system is not on the opening day roster.
If
allow them that.
No.
No, you should allow them
no,
that.
No, because if we had a general manager or a team president that put this guy on the roster opening day, he should be excoriated, crushed, because it'd be the stupidest decision you could make. If you told me he had to stay down until August 24th, I got you. To like April 18th? No, that would be utter stupidity.
Okay, so you want to shout down anybody that's upset over the fact that Chris Bryant is not a Cub on opening day?
Yes.
Okay, I don't
they
think
should go, thank goodness we are being smart.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Excoriation.
Mm-hmm.
How confident are you that Theo Epstein, do you think Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer in this regime will still be in the jobs that they are in now in 2020?
Yes.
In 2021. Was that when Chris Bryant would be up for free agency? Do you think they will be the ones who will be dealing with Chris Bryant's next contract?
Yes.
That's quite a prediction to make 6 years out.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
They're going to go through the hell they've gone through the last 3 years.
Cap,
plus,
there were whispers and rumors and implications and that Theo Epstein might be, you know, has he signed a contract extension?
No, they're not even talking about that.
Well,
it'll get done. Like
Theo, you sound very confident, Mr. Cubby.
Like Theo,
I think that, you know,
like Theo said to me, you think I want to not be a part of everything I just worked to build up? He's not going anywhere.
You're making a lot of assumptions. You're assuming the prospects are going to develop. You're assuming, and I think the Cubs are on the verge of something pretty good. But I don't know that you can predict anything about 6 years from now.
How many wins predict?
You can plan for 6 years from now, but predicting, maybe they will be.
You have to think that way long term. Would you trade 12 games or 12 days, actually, of this season for a year in his prime of Chris Bryant? Yeah, I'll go year over 12. It's such a blowout that people can't fathom this. Drives me insane.
They're not trained to fathom that. They're not conditioned to think that way.
Then they need a front office to think that way for them.
For you to be Mr. Fanboy and then not to acknowledge the fans' emotional investment in the idea of opening day and all that it represents to them, and it's allowed. If I am a judge and I have a gavel and I'm sitting here and I'm saying it's allowed, I hope I didn't break my phone.
Like somebody
it's
just
allowed.
Somebody tweeted at me. I'm trying to find out. I get so many tweets. I can't.
While you're doing that, I've got some breaking news here too. By the way,
bring it on. Chris Bryant make the team all of a sudden?
No,
what?
This is much more serious and much more fun. Oppo Pop, we found out opposite field power.
Yeah,
makes so much sense.
Correct. I retweeted and said, "I'm an idiot. I should have known that."
So now his opposite field power's increased, so that's good.
Yep.
After a hug?
Chris Bryant could do anything.
Chris Bryant gave him a sensual hug, and now Jake feels his Oppo Pop is better because he hugged a power hitter.
What happens if he shakes his hand?
Base hit to right.
Okay.
Let me get a blooper or two.
I'm better for knowing that now.
Ryan Dank on Twitter. Guys, I'll be at opening day, not upset about Bryant, so I bought tickets to see the Cubs and Reds at Cincy later this month to see him when I think he makes his debut.
I don't think he makes his debut in Cincy.
Why?
I think he makes his debut Friday, April, whatever, 16th in Wrigley Field against the Padres.
Malicious Sorensen says, hey, Haw, who's to say KB wouldn't hit .150 and make four errors in the first 12 days? Can't assume he's going to single-handedly win games.
Who's to say he wouldn't hit six home runs in the first nine games and be hitting .457? Haw?
You don't know.
I don't know. You don't know. Come on, but you can allow people the chance to dream. Don't kill people for being emotionally invested when you are Mr. Emotional Investment.
By the way, I got a pick for the Bears in the third round.
Cannot wait. Let's get to that after the break. Wait a second. You're already picking third rounders. You're doing the mock draft.
I got a guy that's projected around the third round.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is April 1st, and the draft is only
a month away. Less.
29 days away. 4 weeks from tomorrow.
And by the way, Peter King, his mock draft came out today. You won't like who's not on the board when the Bears pick. Be right back. So, famous Jameis doesn't want to come to town. Marcus Mariota says he's not coming to the draft. We'll find out who is going to the draft.
When you heard that music, that draft music, what did you instinctively do? Looked up at the screen.
I immediately thought, which one is he going to play? With the fourth pick, the Chicago Bears select, you know,
I mean,
whatever
that,
number they're going to be.
Music,
they're seven
and
this
it's
year.
Like, okay, what happens next? And then
right.
You look
who's
at the
pick?
Screen. Yeah.
All right. So, welcome back to Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus. Don't forget, coming up later on CSN, Cubs and Brewers in Mesa at 3 o'clock. I'll have Sports Talk Live after that game, then Bulls and Bucks on CSN Chicago. Bulls pregame live with Mark and Will starts at 6:30. Yeah.
First round playoff preview, perhaps.
Could be. Looking forward to watching it. Peter King, who's very informed in the NFL, came out with his last draft projection until the dominoes start to fall a couple days before the first round. He'll do one more around April 28th.
Okay.
So this is his pretty informed look, as he calls it. Number one pick, Tampa Bay takes Jameis Winston.
Especially after yesterday, Jameis Winston had an outstanding pro day workout in Tallahassee. Lovie Smith was there. His entire staff was practically there. Lovie Smith spent some time with Winston's parents. This would be a shocker. If it's anybody but
threw 102 passes in the workout yesterday.
Yeah.
How many were on target?
93.
96.
one of the most meaningless workouts in recent pro day history, because the Bucks, if they've had private investigators interview more than 75 people from his past. If they don't find any big problems with him, he is the first pick, April 30. Number two, the Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon.
It's starting to look that way. He would be the starter from day one. Makes a lot of sense for a team that does not have a quarterback that they can trust and lost a young quarterback in the offseason with Jake Locker leaving.
Yep, and they don't trust Zach Mettenberger.
So I think Mariota at number two might be a tad bit high, but that position you will overdraft.
Number three, Jacksonville takes Dante Fowler, outside linebacker, Florida.
That's the one guy that you would like to drop to the Bears.
Oh, he'll never be there. He's a guy I almost would trade up to get. That's how good he is.
He's going to be a good one.
Oakland takes Leonard Williams, D-tackle, USC.
That's the one guy that before all the Jameis research, people wondered if Lovie Smith might fall in love with. But certainly top five defensive tackles don't come around every day.
Said the Oakland could trade, though. Cleveland has 12, 19, and 43, and a big need for a dominating three-technique pile mover. Number five, St. Louis. Kevin White, wide receiver, West Virginia.
Mildly surprising for him to be the first wide receiver to go. On many boards, he's the second. Amari Cooper is the guy that goes first. But Kevin White, certainly explosive. You could see the Rams, very dangerous team. They've got that defense. Now they finally have a quarterback that can be durable, they can trust. And if they get Kevin White, it's quite a combination.
Number six, the New York Jets. Amari Cooper, wide receiver from Alabama.
You could see that Alabama. To pair with Brandon Marshall and Decker and that crew.
Number seven, Chicago, Vic Beasley, outside backer, Clemson.
That's a name that has come up kind of around there with Danny Shelton, Beasley, Amari Cooper. I mean, you hear those names a lot in regard to the Bears. It's a defensive pick. The Bears have spent so much time, energy, and money on defensive players this offseason in free agency. You wonder if that would influence them to think wide receiver.
Well, he says Bears would love White or Cooper. They're both gone in the mock. New GM Ryan Pace might trade up to get either one of those guys. But John Fox loves rushers, and even after spending $39 million in free agency on Pernell McPhee, Beasley is the best value for the rush-starved Bears.
That you could get behind that idea for a coach that's about defense and running the ball. If they traded up for White or Cooper, I'd like to know what they'd have to give up.
Probably significant.
And for a new general manager going into his first draft with a team that has so many needs, I've always been of the trade down, yeah. Trade up, I don't know.
Okay. Atlanta, Alvin Bud Dupree from Kentucky. I love him. What a player that guy is. New York Giants, Brandon Scherff, O-tackle out of Iowa. Number 10, Shane Ray goes to the Washington
Redskins. Yeah, I thought
that
was a guy you thought would go a little bit higher.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, Shane Ray is explosive, but what's the knock? What's keeping him from being somebody that, you know, might be still available 10th? That's still very high.
Danny Shelton slides all the way to 19.
That's Peter King's mock because of the weight, because of the speed.
Dinged by a few scouts for inconsistency recently. He's likely just a two-down player. But at his peak, he could be a Vince Wilfork, and the Browns need some defensive beef. He has them taking him at 19.
He's one of those guys that early on in the process, the longer this process goes on, the more it seems to hurt him.
Cincinnati, Landon Collins at 21. They had talked about him at 7.
You hear a lot of good things about Landon Collins. I'm surprised. See, now here's the thing, Cap. If you're talking about Danny Shelton and Landon Collins being middle of the first round type picks, late teens, early 20s, and you're the Bears at number 7.
Trade down.
Why not?
Arizona, he has taken Todd Gurley, the running back out of Georgia.
Gurley man.
Who I love. He's 4 months out.
He's
from
a Gurley man.
He is, from knee reconstruction. Likely won't be at full strength to start the season. Cardinals might be able to get Adrian Peterson at somewhat of a discount if the Vikings get desperate, so I wouldn't write this pick with a pen. And then he has Melvin Gordon going 26. I want the Bears to find a way to get one of those two.
Melvin Gordon over Todd Gurley, if in my world, because I still think that the injury situation with Todd Gurley would concern me enough to stay away. Melvin Gordon looks like he could be the best running back to emerge. And speaking of running backs, Cap, we have not mentioned it today, but Jacquizz Rodgers.
Signed with the Bears.
Is now a Bear. All 5 foot, 6 inches of him.
The Bears also have the 31st pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He has the Bears taking Byron Jones, a cornerback out of UConn.
Well, you never have, what do they say? You never be too
Bears
thin,
contingent
too rich,
Tuesday at right? Husky Pro Day at UConn yesterday.
Never be too thin, too rich, or have too many cornerbacks.
Right. He ran a 4.38 and a 4.44.
That's fast.
That's quick for a corner. There you have it. Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in to app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop where we shop. Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com, pleasing people since 1936.
And when we come back, they've made the draft lottery tickets available, I believe. People can try to get them. And they also have the Grant Park Festival going on. Anybody going? Is this something that people are looking forward to? Is this a thing?
Who's going up, other than Jacobson, who's going to be camping out there? Who's going to that 9 million square foot festival they're having? Are you going to go hang out there?
I wonder how forward people are looking to this.
I don't know. I don't get it.
You know, Mariota and Winston are staying home, but are you the fan?
We'll find out. I'll find out why Mike's going. He's all excited. Taking off of work to sleep out there. 312-235-2525. Be right back.